others dying without our deliver. Arise and pray, arise and pray. Till the whole world hears, till the whole world knows. Lord, send us out where you would have us go. Till the lost world hears, till the last one knows. The grace of God, the love that you have shown. Till the whole world hears.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for these verses in Isaiah 9. We thank you, Lord, that looking ahead, Isaiah saw the future. And he saw the son that would be given and the child that would be born, and that he would be wonderful, and that he would be a wonderful counselor, and that he would be sovereign and mighty God over everything. And that not only that, he would be the Prince of Peace. And oh my goodness, how we need peace. How we need peace in our world and how we need peace in our hearts. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are living in really crazy times. They say, Jesus said that in the last days there will be wars and rumors of wars, there will be famines, that there will be all chaos, all kinds of craziness on the earth, and that things would not go better, but actually that things would go worse. That it would be going worse before it goes better. And Jesus actually used the illustration of birth pains, right? Birth pains are not good. I haven't had any, but I've witnessed them. And my goodness, one of the people most tolerant for pain that I know besides Arden, it's Loretta. Loretta can take pain. And it was amazing in the delivery room how she would be bent over. And just at the birth pains. And then she would be fine. And then they would come. And then they would come quicker and quicker. And so things got worse before they got better. And then all of a sudden, Arden was there. And the pain goes away. And this is where we're at. We're in a place where things are getting worse before they get better. But when Jesus was born, right before the birth, the angels appeared to the shepherds and they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." Isaiah said that this mighty God would be the Prince of Peace. And I think it doesn't take a rocket scientist to observe that there's very little peace in our world. From Russia, we've seen three people being poisoned. In the UK, a father and son, a former spy, was poisoned. Then an opponent of Putin was poisoned in his home, and then he grabbed a plane and he was screaming with pain on the plane. And they finally lowered him, and then they took him, thank God, to Germany, and they realized that they had poisoned them with a terrible, terrible substance. Just in our lifetime, we have Kim Jong-un with the threats of nuclear powers and nuclear bombs in North Korea. We've had war in Afghanistan for years, in Iraq for years, in Yugoslavia, Crimea and Russia, the Ukraine and Russia, planes shot down over Ukraine, a plane shot down over Iran. Just with the threats. Syria with the civil war. ISIS trying to take over the Middle East. Racism that's been going on. The cops against just shooting people. You have we have the racial where a guy went to a cop car and just shot the police officer and ran away. People killing one another. And the reason there's so little peace in the world is that there's so little peace in people's hearts. People's hearts are raging. And the only way that we will ever find peace in this world is if we find peace in our hearts first. No nation is going to arise beyond the heart of the individuals. A king or a president, a prime minister that is raging will never bring peace to society. A society that is raging will never bring peace. And it's a promise. He's the Prince of Peace. Peace and goodwill towards men is a promise that God makes to us. It's amazing that God gives certain blessings to all kinds of people. He can give riches. He can give houses. He can give children. I remember Loretta really struggling when we weren't able to have kids. And he's like, why is it that God does not give us kids who long for a child, who are loving family and want to love on a child? And why is it that he gives kids to families that are abusing their children? So God gives blessings all over the place, but there's one blessing that he does not give to everybody. He only gives to people that know him. And it's peace. The Bible says there's no peace for the wicked. But when a person believes, a peace comes. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." Peacemakers. In contrast, we see friction all around us. We see people that sometimes, for lack of a better term, it seems like they thrive on dividing people. Dividing families. Being divisive at work. Turning people against one another. Maybe fueling racial, maybe just hurting people because of past hurts. They did this to me, or I've had this kind of life, and we want to bring punishment into other people's lives. Sometimes politics is very tricky. I never used to understand when people said, you just don't talk about politics and religion. And I never understood when I was growing up that people didn't reveal whether they were communists, whether they were socialists, whether they were Republicans. They didn't reveal any of that. It was just like a private, we don't reveal. And when you voted secretly. Now I'm beginning to kind of realize why. Politics is very tricky. And I must say that in our time, we have to be very careful because it's okay to be responsible citizens and vote. And vote for what we intelligently and Christianly feel is the best vote for a nation. But be careful to be taken with the mob mentality. The rage. The anger. Look what happened with Black Lives Matter. And people are on the streets, robbing stores. They got caught. you know, which Floyd or whichever one got killed, and all of a sudden it's just like the mobs on the streets and they're destructive. Be careful. It's okay to be in indignation about what's happening. It's another thing to get caught up in the sway of anger, in the sway of wrath, in the sway of revenge. Look what happened now in the Capitol. That's the other side, right? It's two political parties. That's the other side. In the United States, I never thought that I would see people barging into the Capitol, and they found handcuffs, they found bombs, they found weapons, and they were out to get people, arrest them, take them captive, and possibly kill some of them. They got caught in the mob mentality. It's very important that politically we are able to have convictions and are able to vote civically, but it is very important that we don't get caught up in the rage and the anger and the divisiveness of it all. Christians are to be known to be peacemakers. For having peace in their hearts and having blessing on their lips. And there's so little peace, even at churches at times, isn't it? I mean, right now, the biggest concern I have within churches, not our church necessarily, but I mean, within churches, I mean, of course, I have this concern here as well, but just globally, it's the divisiveness that's coming. People that used to be friends, used to be close, all of a sudden little things come in the way and there's just a divisive spirit going on, a divisive attitude. And I remember years ago, I was shocked because in Captepera area, I think it was San Cervera or San Llorenz, that there was a church there and they divided because some people in the congregation wanted a Christmas tree, other people in the congregation thought a Christmas tree was from the devil. And they divided over it. And Romans 12:18 says this. And if you want to say, okay, how can I live as a Christian? How do I live? In Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. As you are able to live, make sure that you live at peace with everybody. Now, of course, that's not always possible. Look at Jesus. He is incarnate peacemaker, and they crucified him. He caused people to be angry against him. But I think it's amazing that at the cross, Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." There was peace in his heart. There was no rage there. As a matter of fact, when you have Stephen being stoned years later, he said, "Oh Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And they saw his face that shone like an angel. And they were like shocked at what a peace. I really believe that the Apostle Paul saw the peace of God in Stephen. And he who was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he saw that peace and he had none of it. He was always striving. He was always trying to achieve. He was just full of anger. He was on a campaign and he saw that peace in Stephen. He's like, "My goodness, how did he get that? Because I've worked all my life for that and I have none of it." Blessed are the peacemakers. But guys, let's stop the fight. Let's stop the fight with our husbands. Let's stop the fights with our wives. Let's stop the fights with our children. Let's stop the fight with our friends. Let's stop our friends with the fights with our brothers, with our communities. We are to be a people that say peace and goodwill. We are people that are peace should ooze out of us. It should just flow out of us. A lack of peace ruins everything. You ever had great expectations for a meal. And you know when you set a table, I know, Lizzie, you would be like this. And Loretta can be like that sometimes. I'm just like, oh my goodness, please stop. But you make everything, you make everything super nice, super perfect. And you have the best food in the world. Can it not be ruined in an instant by a lack of peace? By a fight? By a striving? I want this, you want this, you think this, I think that. And next thing you know, I've been in situations like that. I was like, forget it. I don't care about this meal. This is a bunch of rubbish. And yet, have you ever been just like with a hot dog? It's terrible for you, you know? And yet you have it with someone, and you can have the best possible. And it just seems like the best meal in the world because there's peace. I mean, it's biblical. The Bible says, better a morsel of bread with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife, with fighting, with striving, with conniving. And you know what? The beautiful thing that as believers, as Christians, what God promises is peace. The angel said peace and goodwill towards men. Men think that God is against them. God is not against us. What he wants to do, he wants to bring peace. He wants to make peace with man, and he wants goodwill. He's got good desires. He's got tremendous desires for us. He's got better desires for us than we will ever have for ourselves. Much better. And he promises us four kinds of peace. Very simple. But we are in need of peace. Before we get into them, let me tell you about the peace that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a peace that has no problems around them. I'm not talking about going to El Toro, sitting on the cliffs with no children, with nobody around, and just go, oh, wow, this is such peace. I never want to go back. I'm talking about a peace that no matter what it is that is going on around, there's a deep-rooted peace inside of the heart. I'll explain it to you. I was born and raised here in Mallorca, and at the age of 13, I moved over to the United States. And the reason I connected to is because what is the climate like here? Pretty stable, isn't it? Not much goes on. Every once in a while, a water spout, it just goes back by in 2 minutes. And it just drops a lot of water, a lot of wind. But in 2 minutes, it's over. Not so in Maryland. Gloria came. A Category 4 hurricane. And next thing you know, people are like, and the news are saying, there's a hurricane coming. I'm like, what's a hurricane? And next thing you know, they're putting wooden boards on the glass of the windows. The windows are being boarded up. And I'm just like, what is happening? Are we expecting tanks? Who's Gloria? And this hurricane just came over. My goodness. Everything, the trees falling, the noise of the wind, everything shattering, things flying and hitting the walls everywhere outside, and just this incredible, incredible storm. And then something miraculous happened. I really believe it was a gift of God for my entire life. It was one of those experiences that I think it doesn't compare to any other experience I've ever had. We were in the eye of the hurricane. It was 50 miles from one end to the other. And you would walk out of the house and it was still. You would look at the heavens, you would look at the sky, and the clouds were going crazy around, but at a distance, you looked up and it was clear blue sky, but there are raging clouds all around. I've never seen clouds move so fast in my life, and at such a distance. But there was absolutely no movement of any kind. Not even a slight breeze inside of the eye. The birds came out and were chirping. And this was for several hours, this amazing peace. And you knew that outside of where you were, out there, it was raging. That's the kind of peace that Jesus wants to bring into our hearts. Not one where everything is perfect in life, but one where everything can be raging on the outside, but there's a deep peace inside of our hearts. Man needs peace. We need peace. And there are four kinds of peace that God wants to give to our life. Number one is peace with God. The Bible says that before we believed, we were enemies of God. Think about it. What did we do with our lives before we believed? We justified ourselves. I'm a good person. Or we would excuse ourselves. The reason I am the way I am is because all I've suffered in my life. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what's happened to me. And so therefore, because of that, this is what you get. I've had to learn to fight. I've had to learn to stand. I've had to learn to do. And this is why I'm like this. So what we do is we fight against God. We're justifying ourselves. We're blaming others for what we're going through. But when a person believes, when a person believes, it's a whole different thing. Remember Isaiah? Isaiah said this in Isaiah 1-5. You can read Isaiah yourself, and it says, woe is him. Isaiah's like, woe to that guy. Woe to that guy. Woe to that guy. And all of a sudden, Isaiah says, oh my goodness, I saw the Lord on his throne, and he said, woe is me. And he saw himself. And he saw not the wrongs that had been done to him, but actually the wrongs that he had done. And man, when a man realizes that Jesus came to take away our pain, to take away our guilt, to take away our sinfulness, to take away all that we deserve, in the person of Jesus Christ, that there on the cross, Jesus paid everything. And that we go, we no longer had God as our judge. Now we have God as our Father. That brings great peace to us. When we cease to fight God, but all of a sudden all we want is God. Most people see God as their judge. Whenever you're born again and then you realize, oh no, my goodness. Jesus said when you pray, say, my Father, our Father who art in heaven. And you have that spirit of adoption. You know what? It doesn't matter what's going on the outside. If you have peace with God, you can endure anything that's going on the inside. On the outside, sorry. See, without the peace of God, religion doesn't matter. Without the peace of God, being a church doesn't matter. Good deeds don't matter. Working at the food bank doesn't matter. Only Jesus can give this deep peace in our hearts. A relationship with Jesus. An actual meeting of Jesus. And actually beginning to experience him and know him through his word and through the spirit and through life. And it's a relationship that starts, it starts exciting, but then it goes deep. But it is Jesus that gives this. Honestly, I can only describe it that the relationship that we get to enjoy with Jesus, it's deeper even than the relationship I enjoy with Loretta. I've been married to her for 20 years. But Paul said, I've been justified by faith. We have peace with God. God wants to settle our hearts. The intention of Him saving us is peace and goodwill to you. So peace with God is one of the blessings. But number two, God has promised us peace with our past. How many of you kind of wonder, oh my goodness, if I wouldn't have done this, if I wouldn't have made that decision, if I would have taken that job, if I wouldn't have moved to Mallorca, if I would have gone to that school, if maybe I wouldn't have gotten into that relationship. And I want to ask you a question. Can you undo it? I mean, there's certain things that we just cannot undo in our life. And the Apostle Paul said this incredible thing. Now, you got to think, the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee, and he was determined to destroy Christians. He hated Christians. And not only that, he went to the Sanhedrin, he went to the priest, the high priest, and he got letters from them in order to bring Christians from all over Israel and even beyond the borders of Israel into Syria and bring them and put them into prison. And he actually voted for Christians to be killed. He was actually there when Stephen was killed, and he cast his vote for Stephen to be stoned. And there they killed an innocent man in a mob. You're like, oh my goodness, God must have nothing for him. And it says that on the road to Damascus, God stopped him in his rage. And he said, who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do? And he says, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. And that day, his whole life changed. And he obviously had a lifetime of growth with the Lord Jesus. And 20 years into his life with the Lord Jesus, he penned these words, forgetting one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I look forward to what is ahead. He was free from the past, even free from things that only him and God knew. And you know what? And sometimes we look at the word forgetting what is behind, and we're so literal. We're kind of like little kids. We're so literal sometimes. They were like, but I remember everything. Paul was able to forget, but I'm not able to forget because I can still remember everything. Listen, Paul never forgot. When he says forgetting, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and look into what is ahead. Please understand, Paul never forgot. In Acts 25, in Acts 26, in Acts 22, Paul gives a clear description of everything that he did. He remembered perfectly. When he says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, looking to what is ahead, means that he lived in a way that his past didn't affect his present. He didn't let them affect them. He remembered, but he realized that he was going to leave it behind where it belonged. One thing I do, forgetting what is ahead, behind, and looking to what is ahead. And my goodness, that is one of the best things we can do with our life. You cannot undo the past, but you can be sure that God is able to take your past and restore all the years that the locusts have eaten, whether you've done it or whether other people have done it to you. The story of Joseph has been speaking to me so much lately. What you meant for evil in the past, God meant for good in the present. Take, for example, my life. My mom, my dad left when I was 5. My mom remarried when I was 13. Moved me to America. Then I joined the U.S. Army, and I end up in Germany for 5 years in the military, 2 years in the military, 3 years out of the military. And then I become a Christian. And then after a couple of years, the Lord opens the doors for me to come here to Mallorca. And so my mom's decision to move to America that I thought might have been bad for me, the wrongs that I did, or my dad leaving, all that stuff. All this stuff. Here I am pastoring today, a church full of Germans and English people, and I'm from Mallorca. So I forget what is behind and I look to what is ahead. There's peace and there's goodwill ahead. Let God give you peace with your past. Allow Him to give you peace with your past. You cannot undo it. Receive the forgiveness and trust that God is able to take even the bad decisions of the past and turn them for good. But God has also promised peace for the present. Psalm 55, verse 6 says, David says, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, and I would fly away and be in rest." And so often we think that we're going to find peace if we were just somewhere else. If I could just go somewhere else, I would have peace. You know the problem with having peace somewhere else? Is that you go with you. Wherever you go, there you are. Not rocket science, but it's true, isn't it? And we go with ourselves. Always wanting something that we don't have. Always unhappy, discontented. And when we get it, when we finally get the thing we wanted, whether to move here, whether to move there, whether to have this, whether to have that, when we get what we wanted, we realize that that doesn't satisfy. It was Arden, remember I told you when he got his tower, that he said, "Mommy, I don't want any more presents." And the next day he got more dinosaurs. And then the other day he says to me, "Daddy, I want Christmas to come. You know that big dinosaur?" And I said to him, "Enjoy what you have. Enjoy what you have." And to be able to trust God where we're at in life. Instead of, if I only had that car, if I only had that holiday, if I only had that partner, if I was only married, oh my goodness, now I'm married. If I was only single, oh, I wish I had kids. If I only had kids, and then you have kids, as oh, if I only had vacation from the kids. And it just seems like we're never happy. And the Lord wants to bring rest to our hearts today. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not worry about tomorrow. Live today." And that's going to come by accepting where we are today. By realizing that He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. Jesus has promised to never leave us, never forsake us, no matter what is going on. And you know what? This economic thing that is going on at the moment, to me, it's been amazing to see. I do not enjoy anyone going through any difficulties, but I have been amazed to see how we are all learning how God can take care of us today. And I've seen story after story of provision. And you know what? I mean, for me, the big one is the school. I'm constantly on the verge. We're going to go bankrupt. We're going to go bankrupt. And it's just like, you know what? Enjoy today. Let the peace of God that surpasses understanding rule your heart and your mind today. Let the peace of God be a fortress guarding your heart. Give thanks for where you are. You see, if I'm in the school and I'm worried about how the future is going to go, why not be thankful for where we're at? Thankful for the fact that we had the cash to renovate it. Thankful for the cash of the people that God has brought to be able to run it. Thankful. I mean, when we got one student, we had one student. I just thought to myself, how are we going to do this? We have one kid. And then we had a meeting with all the people, the team. And it was Bud that's in California. He says, "Praise the Lord, you have your first customer." I was like, it's true. You know, if we would just take account and be thankful for what God has given us. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not His benefits. Let's think about how faithful God has been. being thankful. Let the Jesus fill you with peace today. And fight. Fight against the devil. Say to the devil, I'm not going to let you steal my peace. I am too blessed to walk around anxious. I am not going to let you steal my peace. I'm not going to let people steal my peace. I remember when I was coming to Mallorca, one guy sat me down in Austria. Actually, yeah. And he said to me, so what are you going to do in Mallorca? I was like, I don't know. What are you going to work in Mallorca? I don't know. Have you gone to churches and raised support? No. Do you have a plan? No. And he looked at me like the fool of fools. And I was so anxious all of a sudden. But it was God that was calling me. And he took away my peace. And I had to say, you know what? No. Don't let anyone rob you. Now, but that doesn't mean that we are irresponsible. We can excel. We can try hard to grow as people, as believers, in skillfulness. But there's a big difference between growing and obsessing. When we're obsessive, we become anxious. And sometimes we can today desire more. And you know what? Sometimes realizing that less is more can bring tremendous peace to our hearts. Some of the most beautiful meals I've ever had have not been about the food. It has been about the peace that was there for today. In Cuba, when they share their last food with them, their ration food, and they give you their last piece of chicken and you divide it between yourselves. And you fellowship, and the house is full of peace. In Pakistan, when you have rice with the street children, and you're just laughing, you don't need a whole lot. You just need, for today, the peace of God today. When you have peace, everything tastes good. But it's not just that. Peace about the future. Peace about the future. Right now, we have governments going crazy. There's fears of socialism and communism. There's fears on the left for right-wing mentality. There is fear for the vaccine. There's fear for the virus. There's fear for the economy. And Corrie Ten Boom says, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And whether Jesus comes back and takes us, or whether we have to go through a season where we might be in want, might have less, or whether things get better actually than they are, it doesn't matter. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and he said to me, are you telling me if we have to travel that you're going to take the vaccine? And I said, yes. I said, I'm not going to let fear keep me from preaching the gospel or being part of conferences and fellowshipping with other believers. I'm just not going to let it happen. I'm afraid of flying, for heaven's sake. I'm always concerned that, you know, I study aircraft investigation, air crash investigation, and I can tell you different planes that crash in different places, and these new 737s that have been taking off, and after a few minutes they just go into cruise control and the pressure, and then they crash and all 270 people die, and it's like I'm aware of all these things, and I get on those planes, I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't want to get on that thing, and there's a possibility that plane will crash. But the Apostle Paul says, none of these things move me. I don't care if they put me in prison. I don't care if they try to arrest me, if they're going to punish me, whatever it is. But for the gospel, I don't care anything. I get to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I don't let planes get in the way. Neither will I let coronavirus get in the way. Neither will I let a vaccine get in the way. I will become all things to all men that I may win some, right? Whatever it takes. We're not going to let fear run our life. We're going to let the Prince of Peace run our life. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Because he said, I will never, ever, ever leave you nor forsake you. And it's not a logical peace. It's not A plus B equals C. It's not a logical peace at all. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God that surpasses understanding. I know you've all experienced it sometimes. I know a great tragedy or something big has happened, and no one understood the peace that you had, and neither did you understand the peace that you had. And this is what God wants to do in our life. God wants us to walk in that peace all the time. To have a sense that the peace is something we experience, not something we understand. It's not because we can rationalize, it's because the supernatural Prince of Peace takes and guards our hearts. And how do we get this peace? Number one, we ask. There's a song by Rich Mullins that he wrote. And during my early years of marriage, it was my daily bread. Because my marriage was hard. I'm talking about pizza. It was like we would go out to eat. And it's just like we couldn't do any. Loretta and I could not do anything. Nothing. Not even a date without fighting. Let's go. What do you want to eat? I don't know, Raph. What do you want to eat? No, whatever you want to eat. No. You pick, Raph. It's your turn. Okay. Let's eat pizza. I don't like pizza. Okay. You choose. No. I'm not going to choose. You choose, Raph. Okay. Let's eat this. No. I don't really want. I'm not in the mood for meat today. Okay, well, what do you want to eat? No, you choose. You know, it'd just be war constantly. I mean, all the time. We fought 3 or 4 times in the day, but big ones. And the song was this. Sometimes my life just don't make sense at all. When the mountain seems so high and my faith just seems so small. And he says, so help me, Jesus. You have been my King of glory. You're my Lord. Please come and be my Prince of Peace. I think if I told you that I've prayed that a million times, it probably falls short because it used to be my daily breath. You've been my King of glory. Please be my Prince of Peace. So number one is we ask. In relationship, right? We talk. It's a relationship. It's not a ritual. And we go and we say, Lord Jesus, I love you. And I want to know you. And I want to grow. And I believe you. But please guard my heart. It's a frail heart right now. I'm struggling. Be honest. But ask him, Lord, be my Prince of Peace. But then there's always something good that we can do as well as asking. And is, what are you thinking about? If you're feeding yourself off bad news, the internet, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, if you're feeding yourself bad news all the time, what do you expect? I watched the news yesterday, 9 o'clock news, Channel 1, Spain. The United States, the cases in Britain, the new thing in South Africa, the new one from Brazil, the new one from the UK, the capital, you know, just everything was bad news. And then the reporter said this. The reporter said this, please hear me out. The reporter said, but it's not all bad news today. Let's talk about some good news. Croquettes. Croquettes. Yeah, croquetten. He says, and Spain has great croquettes. I said, did you hear that, Loretta? It's not all bad news today. We have croquettes. You know, I just thought to myself, are you for real? Loretta, I'm sorry. I can't believe I've been anxious all this time. We have croquettes. My goodness. Let's go out. Let's celebrate. It's croquette day. Guys, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have good news. And in Philippians, when it says, be anxious for nothing. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Later on, it says, whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is praiseworthy, if anything is virtuous, meditate on such things. You want cure for your anxiety? Not sermons. Not articles. Not YouTube videos. This. Sit down and read this. I read the other day, I'm finishing. I read the other day, The Life of Joseph. I just want to read The Life of Joseph. I cannot tell you the peace and the overwhelming warming of heart that came to me just by seeing the faithfulness of God and the greatness of God. Everything in this world, the world, the devil, and the flesh is going to try to rob you from peace. Fight. Ask God. You have the Prince of Peace. And number two, think on Him. Whatever you put in, that's what comes out. So may you walk away from here today just realizing you are blessed. You are so blessed with peace with God. You're so blessed with peace. Make peace with the past. You're so blessed that we have a present helper in any time of need. Peace for today. And we have an uncertain future, but we have the God, there's the Prince of Peace for the future. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, so much for your goodness, for your grace, for the fact that every letter starts with grace and peace. You desire grace and peace for our life. And Lord, keep us, Lord, from going with the sway of the mobs, whether left, whether right, whether fearful, whether overconfident. Help us to walk level-headed with you and to enjoy this tremendous hurricane, eye of the hurricane that you've promised to us, which is deep peace in the midst of a chaotic storm. Help us, Lord, to be recipients of that, enjoying that and thankful for that. In Jesus' name, if there's any heart here today raging, anxious, fearful, oh Lord, may it be filled with that peace that surpasses understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Spirit of the Lord. atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Capture my heart, I surrender my will. Focus my mind till I'm yielded and still. Hearing your voice to answer your call. Carried away till I can't speak. Carry me away.